So today we are in the how to create either a mastermind, a masterclass, or a challenge for yourself. And we talked early on about it being a 5 day. It doesn't have to be a 5 day. Five is the magic number. We talked about that. Five being the magic number that folks feel like they're connected to you and your group, and they don't want it to end. And so I don't know about you, but I've been in mastermind classes, even if they've been a if it's been a free one. I've tapped in, and after 5 days, I'm looking to see how can I afford this, because I don't want the call to end. I don't want that group to end. I don't want that energy that you feel in that room. I don't want that to end. And so I start looking for ways to stay connected instead of ways to not stay connected. And then sometimes, and again, I don't know about you, but some of these masterminds, the free ones, have such great content that you know that the paid one is going to be amazing, but it just doesn't fit your budget for whatever reason. I mean, no matter how much you love it, I've seen masterminds out there, $10,000 or $50,000 or whatever, and I get what they're doing. They want a smaller group, and to make it worth their while, they've got a pretty high price ticket. Because you can go a lot deeper if your group isn't super large. But what happens is that sometimes you just have to say, I can't do that one. But there's tons out there that you can do. So when you are creating your own master classes, masterminds, or challenges, you have to decide a couple of things before you ever start down that path. Number one is you have to really think about who your audience is going to be. And because for me, when I went through the Carrie Oberbrunner program, one of the books that we read was Your Secret Name. And so that was step one, was to find out, and his is all faith-based for those of you that are listening, and it's Carrie Oberbrunner. And his first book that I read was Your Secret Name, and it was all about who God called you to be. Who it was that you were to be, whether you're a mentor or you're a coach or you're a teacher or you're whatever he called you to be. And then the second book was Deeper Path, and you actually wrote what he called now I've forgotten the term. But anyway, once you got through that book, it was once you figured out who you were to be, then it was what were you going to do with it? Who were you going to impact with this person that you are to be? And when I got to the end of Deeper Path, I knew that I wanted to help support an earlier version of myself. And of course, for those of you that are listening, know my story, and you know that I was a single mom working a minimum wage job. And it's not, my audience is not just single moms that have worked minimum wage jobs, although many of us have. It's folks that the way I like to say it is that $200 a month or $500 a month or $1,000 a month might make a difference in your world. And it's not somebody that's already making 150,000 a year. It's somebody that's making somewhere a little over minimum wage, or for whatever reason, maybe your income is higher than that, but maybe you've had medical bills, maybe you've had expenses that you weren't expecting. And so for whatever reason, financially, you're in somewhat of a struggle, or where you really need to infuse some cash flow. And I like to say that sometimes $200 makes a difference in, or 500 makes a difference in what car you drive, and 1,000 might make a difference in what zip code you live in. And for some folks, that makes a difference on where their kids go to school, and it changes the entire trajectory of their lives by just infusing 200, 500, 800, whatever that number might be that makes a difference for you. Now, I don't know about you, but there are months that $500 would make a difference for me. Even now, when I look at my budget, I might have some big expense, and it kind of wipes me out, and I'm thinking, boy, if I just had 500 more this month, I'd be in pretty good shape. And so never underestimate those sums of money and how they change lives. And so when I went through that whole program of Deeper Path, That's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted my courses to be. That's where my secret name came out, teacher, and my deeper path came out that I wanted to help an earlier version of me, whatever that means for folks. But it's folks that again, a little bit of money makes a big difference in their world. And so when I price my product, see, when I start with that audience in mind, the last thing I want to do is put together a mastermind for $10,000. You see where I'm going with that? Because the very audience that I'm trying to reach would say, oh, that's nice, and turn the page. And it wouldn't be that they wouldn't be interested. And they might even go, boy, the first $10,000 I have, I'm signing up for that. But they just can't. I mean, it's not that they won't, they just can't. And so I don't want to price myself out of that environment. And so one of the things that has really been working on me for 2024, and you see here, Linda and I, we were just talking about changing, updating our names here in our little Hollywood square where mine says passive income coach. I find that I enjoy so much more being a mentor. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm going to keep my coaching clients. I have about 10 coaching clients that are kind of ongoing over the month, a period of a month or two. And then when one completes their five sessions or 10 sessions or whatever they paid for, somebody else will come on. So I'm starting to get a little bit of a waiting list of folks that want to actually do one-on-one coaching with me. And I enjoy that, don't get me wrong, but that's not my main focus. What I really get energized from, and our clubhouse call this morning was all about vibration and energy and that sort of thing. And what I really decide that I'm energized from is when I get to mentor somebody for absolutely no compensation for me at all. It's just what I enjoy doing when I see them have an aha moment, or I see the light come on, like, hey, I get it, Kathy, I get it. That's what does it for me, is to know that I made a difference for that person, and it is something that they can then take and run with it on their own down the road, and they can turn that into as much or as little as they want. And that's probably my sweet spot. That's where I really like to function on a day-to-day basis. And so that's the first thing I had to decide, was who was that audience that I was trying to reach before I ever start putting together my products. Now, I did that a lot early on, so I feel that I got a lot right. And here's something, especially for Linda and Debbie, that's on the call with me. You've been with me for a while, and you girls are already putting together some of your products and services. You can look back and say to yourself, I got a lot of that right. I got a lot of it right. What I'm doing feels good. I got a lot of it right. And so now we can just adjust, tweak our programs or what we're doing here and there a little bit to move ourselves more in line with who we are. Not necessarily what we're doing, but who we are being. And we can kind of now start to realign a little bit, but we got a lot of it right. So don't throw away the baby with the bath. take a lot of that stuff that you've already created and just adjust it to fit who it is that you are becoming. So that's what I want to talk about today, is when we put together a program and we know who our audience is, then we can start looking at our program through their eyes. And the way I phrase this, and you've probably heard me say this before, is that at that point, you can enter the conversation in their minds instead of making them enter the conversation in your mind. Because when we investigate a topic that we want to share, we're ahead of the curve because we've already researched it. We maybe have taught it before. We maybe have sat through other seminars or other courses where that topic has been taught. And the light comes on, and we say, oh, this is really what I need to share with my audience. But we're ahead of them. Okay. And so sometimes we talk up here when our audience is down here. And so with that in mind, we have to circle back and say, if I'm looking at this for the first time and I've never heard this information before, where, what level, and where do I need to present this so that it resonates with the audience that I'm actually trying to reach? So I'm going to share my screen. So bear with me here while I pull that up. So for those of you that are listening, I will put a link to the video even in the actual podcast audio version so that you can actually click over and see what we're seeing if you want to. So the first thing that I want to talk about is, and we talk about this in Build a Better Business, is that when you create something, you can actually decide whether you want to create a one day, a 3 day, a 5 day. You want to make it a challenge or a mastermind or a masterclass, or you want to make it a symposium. And Debbie, this one would be good for you, and I'll mention that you could do a 1 day symposium, and instead of the word masterclass here, you can just put the word symposium in there. And here's why. And Linda, this would work for you as well. It would work for all of us, actually. On a symposium, you don't have to be the guru. You don't have to be the one with all the information. You don't have to take the time to do all of your homework, all of your research, write up the, you don't have to do all that. All you have to do is create a schedule and invite different speakers to come in on your topic, whatever that means to them. And for me, see, it's super, super easy. And for those of you that know me, know that I've just launched a magazine called Freestyle Living. And so how easy would that be to have a symposium for a day, just a 1 day symposium, and just ask my folks to come on board and just talk about what does freestyle living mean for them? Every single person is going to have a different twist or a different spin on what freestyle living means for them, but it could end up being a 1 day symposium on freestyle living. You see how easy that would be for me to do that? Now, what you say, why would somebody want to come on and be on the symposium? Well, it goes back to in our Build a Better Business where we talk about borrowing somebody else's audience. So if you're doing a symposium, and let's say you line up 10 speakers and each one gets maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, and you line up 10 speakers, all of a sudden you are borrowing their audience, but they are borrowing your audience, and they're also borrowing the other speakers' audiences. Everybody's borrowing each other's audience on that symposium. And so now somebody that knows speaker number 10 might tap in and listen for the whole day to the symposium. And so now they would have never heard of those other nine speakers had it not been for you inviting speaker number 10 to come on board, nor would they may have not heard of you. And so, and you can be one of the presenters if you want to be. You can be the one, you know, to kick off the symposium, and you can do the conclusion if you want. But the point is that putting together a sim, and this can be even virtual, doesn't have to be in person. This can be a virtual symposium. The one that I participated in most recently on, believe it or not, was on Clubhouse. It was a 1 day symposium on Clubhouse, and you just tapped into this one channel, and everybody just could come on and chat, and talk and gave their presentation on whatever the topic was. And at the end of their 15 minutes, they answered two or three questions, and then it moved on to the next person in the symposium. So there's just all kinds of things that you can do with this. So I don't want you, again, go back to that Build a Better Business. And I say all the time, if you're going to blog, if you're going to podcast, if you're going to, it's not rocket science. It don't overcomplicate what it means. Sometimes we think, oh, I can't start a podcast. That's, you have to have all these parts and pieces. Well, really, all you have to do is have a Zoom channel and a place to put the audio when you're done, you know, a place for that to land. And then you go, well, where is it going to land? Well, all that is a website. So don't overcomplicate all of this. And it's the same thing with a symposium. You think, oh, all the parts and pieces to put on a 1 day symposium, that would be so involved. Actually, it's don't overcomplicate it. It's not as involved as you think it would be. And but the components and the parts and pieces are the same. So whether you're going to do a 1 day masterclass or a 1 day symposium, or you're going to do a mastermind, or you're going to do a 5 day mastermind or whatever. It doesn't matter, or a challenge, a 5-day challenge. It could be a 1-day challenge. It could be a 3-day challenge. It could just be, a free 1-hour challenge call. I mean, it doesn't matter. The point is that your parts and pieces are going to be the same. And that's what we want to talk about today, is the individual parts and pieces. And we're going to talk about 12 parts and pieces that go into whatever it is that you're going to design. Now, once you design it and create it, your next step, you've already decided who your audience is going to be as you're starting to put this together, so that you present on their level, so that you're entering the conversation in their minds, not making them enter the conversation in yours. And so once you know who your audience is and you're starting to put this whole thing together, you have to also decide what price point. So these couple of things have to come at the beginning before you start putting together your program, because it makes a difference on what you're going to put together. Because if you can create a free option, you can create a pay option. And again, in the Build a Better Business, we talk about first base, second base, third base, and finally, what is your home run offer? And you want to decide where those 4 steps price points are in your business, so that you can reverse engineer something that you're going to create. So if you're going to put a lot of time and effort and research, and you might decide that you want this to be your home run offer. You might decide that if it's not super, super involved and you're just going to do a 1-day, maybe it's going to be your second base offer. If you're just going to do a 1-day masterclass, maybe it's your free offer. So it depends on where you want to position that, but you kind of have to have that in mind before you start writing. Now, again, action comes first and clarity comes second. It could be that you start, and I had one of my students did this. She started putting together a masterclass and she got super, super down in the weeds. She got really deep with where she was going with it, and she was on a roll, and she just kept writing and creating and creating and writing. And then, oh, I could have a workbook, and then I could have, handouts, and then I could, and she ended up creating this whole big thing, and it was beautiful. And after she sat back and looked at it, she said, oh, this needs to be my home run. She was creating something for a lower price point, but she got so involved and it just flowed out of her. But once she saw it, she said, oh, this needs to be the home run. So then, see, she could reverse engineer. She could kind of take that whole thing that she created and set it over here. And then she could say, what can I do that's not that involved that points to that thing? So that somebody that then takes this 1-day thing can say, oh, I want to pay now and take the 3-day or the 5-day. And so again, action comes first, clarity comes second. So don't feel like you have to have everything all, tied up in a bow and ready to go. But you do have to start, and you do have to start, laying it out there and designing it. And there are tools to do that. And one of the tools that I was turned on to not too long ago, through Chris Borja with his magazine, Connected Columbus, but also then Sherry was using it, was my Trello boards. And I find that the Trello boards is a great place where I can start mapping out and laying out what it is. And I laid out the magazine there. So it's wherever you want to, whatever tools you use. I like to make sure, and now don't get me wrong, I've got I told myself I was going to go paperless, and I probably have paper, more paper in my office. And it's like, boy, if I didn't go paperless, I wonder what this office would look like. But with my Trello boards, all of it then goes onto my computer, and I can get rid of all those little post-it notes and all those things where I jot down ideas, and I can jot down my ideas there. And then that way, when I travel, see, I have my Trello board with me all the time because it's a computer program. So I don't have to worry about, oh, I want I like Debbie, you go and house sit for your daughter sometimes. And my guess is that you're thinking to yourself, well, I could work on some projects, but now you got to load all that up and take it with you. And when you're working on like a Trello board, it's there. It's all right there in Trello. So I'll just toss that out there as a tool. So anyway, the first thing that you want to do on whatever it is that you're going to create, because you want to start with what is your expertise. It has to be something that you either have a passion about, You have a skill set, you have some knowledge. It has to be something that excites you. And then you have to take whatever that is and you have to say, what problem am I solving for my attendees? Now, I'm going to put Linda on the hot seat for just a moment because Linda, you just did a one-day master class. How did you decide what it was that you were going to have your master class on? How did you identify your topic?
This was a component of my bigger class, and I was trying to come up with a topic for a confined mastermind challenge, whatever. And I was floating some ideas, and one was broader and one was much more defined. I ran it past some friends, and the consensus was, oh my goodness. That really specific problem really struck people as a definite pain point, and kind of more like a gut punch, really. And so that was the one I went with.
I love it. Can you share what your topic was for our listeners?
Sure, it has to do with our digital assets, which is anything that we have online. It could be anything from our websites and our blogs and our social media, but it could also be all of our photos that we have stored in the cloud, or everything that we have stored in Dropbox or Evernote. All these things are in the cloud with user agreements with us only. If we get hit by a bus or we die or whatever, our families, our executors, et cetera, our business partners wouldn't even have access to them without the right things in place.
I love that. And you are right. That is like a gut punch because how many of us haven't even thought about that? So anyhow, you see how she took some time to reflect on her skill set, her knowledge set, and she's passionate about leaving a legacy, and she has a legacy of love project. And so she identified a specific topic that aligned with her expertise, and then she decided what problem she was going to solve for her attendees. So you see how her thought process brought her right through these four steps on what her topic was going to be. Then, of course, she had to know her audience. So dive deeper into understanding your target audience, create detailed personas that represent your ideal participants, and analyze their demographics, their preferences, and their pain points. And so you have to know your audience. Now, again, I think when we start putting something together, some sort of a program like this, I think we kind of already know, who our target audience is early on. At least I do. Again, it was because I wanted to talk with somebody that freestyle, they felt like they couldn't have freestyle living. That's the person I want to talk to, is the person that feels they don't have freestyle living, but yet they want freestyle living. And so that is the person, that's their pain point. And so now I can pick all kinds of topics that speak to that. So Debbie, if you had to pick a topic in your wheelhouse, what would come right off the top of your head as maybe what you would put together a one-day master class on? What's the first thing that pops into your head?
The first thing is working with those that have, if I can say this correctly, they have a brain that talks themselves out of what they want to do. Does that make
Okay.
sense? Yes. And there's a certain word for it, and I can't think of it, but like clutter, it just popped into my head. There's this the old saying, the devil made me do it, type thing where, people just they want to do something, but yet everything in their head is telling them, no, you can't handle it, no. You don't know what you're talking about. So that's kind of where my
Okay.
head's going.
Okay. So you could do a, you could have a master class on something that simply, and I love titles that ask questions. You know, a title that says, you know, do you think you can't do this? Here are 10 steps on how.
Yeah, exactly.
So
And may I
I
ask a
like,
question?
yeah.
Debbie, what came to my mind, and I don't know if that's what you were looking for, imposter syndrome? Is that what you're describing?
Well, that's a good thought. Yes, imposter, because lots of
Because you
times
think, who am I to do this? Yeah.
they are easily convinced out of it.
Yeah, that does sound like imposter syndrome, and that is a
Yes.
thing. And there are some courses out there on that, and I could see you putting together a course on that, on how to overcome imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. And so now, see, you know what problem you're going to solve for your attendees, and you know who they are. There are people that feel that they're less than, that, well,
Right.
you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough money. I don't know how. I don't understand technology. I don't have a degree. I don't, you know, it's all of those things that we tell ourselves on why we
Right.
can't do something. And so, yeah, I could see that being a wonderful master class, and this would be a perfect free one that you could get folks involved in, to know, like, and trust you and want to get more involved with what you're doing. So I love that. Yeah, I love it. And so knowing your audience, her audience would just be all of those folks that are that have that imposter syndrome. They just feel less than in all those different ways. You know, like, again, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know how to write. I don't know how to speak. I don't have a college degree. I don't, you know, they keep telling themselves all the reasons why they can't do it. So yes, I love that. Now, once you know your topic, you know your audience, you know kind of where, again, remember my girlfriend who got so involved it ended up being her home run. You may not have decided exactly your price point yet, but now you have to set your clear learning objectives. So you have to craft your precise and attainable learning goals. Now, here is the key words: precise and attainable. Precise and attainable. Yeah, if I promise everybody, and I tell you what, I've got a girlfriend right now. I love her, love her, love her. And she has put together a 90-day challenge in real estate that says you will come out the other end owning a piece of investment property. That one scares me because I'm like, well, is this attainable? As if everybody signs up and pays me their money, how can I guarantee that they will come out the other end owning a piece of investment property? You know, how can I make that happen? You see where I'm going with this? Now, maybe I have the imposter syndrome in this case. Maybe I'm the one saying I'm not smart enough to know how to get people through to that, across that finish line. But she's doing it, and she does this 90-day challenge, and she had, off the top of my head, maybe, and maybe I'm wrong because I really don't know her numbers, but let's say 10 people that are in the middle of the 90-day challenge, and I don't know how many crossed the finish line. I don't know what disclaimer she had to put up front in case they didn't. You see where I'm going with that? So anyway, when you're doing something, you have to have a precise learning objective and an attainable goal at the other end. And you have to define what the participants should gain from your masterclass. And again, like my girlfriend, her, they're gonna have their first investment property. You know, I mean, the whole 90-day challenge for her is to just get them across that finish line. Well, now once they own the investment property, now another whole set of issues settle in for that particular student of hers. Now, maybe they got the investment property, but maybe they could only afford one that was pretty run down. Now, how are they going to fix it? And then once they figure out how to fix it, then are they going to flip it? Are they going to, you know, put it back on the market? If so, do they know how to do that? Or are they going to fill it? And oh my goodness, wonder if they decide they're going to hold it and rent it out and fill it. Now they've got the whole series of landlording issues. Well, how do what kind of a lease agreement do I write? Right. So you see where, on one hand, she could get them across that first finish line, but she now is setting them up with another whole set of questions and issues and problems. So unless she plans on taking them through their other issues, and this is just me talking, she very well may have this all, you know, mapped out. But in my mind, I would feel bad if I just got them across that finish line and said, okay, there you go. There, you own one. Now, happy with your house. Go figure it out. Because if they didn't know how to get across that first finish line, how are they going to know how to get across all those other hurdles? And so I think you have to keep that in mind when you're bringing somebody through one of your programs, is that they don't end up in worse shape after your program than when they started, you know, where they're spending big bucks and now they're hanging out there and they're like, ah, now what do I do? So you have to define what your participants should gain from your masterclass and then ensure that your objectives are realistic and measurable. Realistic and measurable. So now you've decided back here what your topic is. You know, you've identified your topic and what problem you're solving. You know who your audience is. You've set the clear learning objectives. But now you have to create the roadmap. How are you going to get them from point A to point B? So you have to develop a comprehensive outline. You have to organize your topics in a logical and engaging sequence and then plan each section, ensuring it aligns with your learning objectives. Now, here's where I'm going to tell you, you don't have to have everything done to start. When I started, and Debbie, you'll remember this, when I started right after I retired from the salon industry, and I did my Fit as a Fiddle program, and it was a 5-session master class. And we met once a week for 5 sessions. And I had my 5 topics that I wanted to cover in the 5 weeks. You know, I had my roadmap, you know, where I had my outline, but I did not have all of the content, all of my materials, because I didn't know where it was going to go. I kind of let the class unfold. So once I saw who was in the class on the first session and what questions they had, it helped me know what I had to write and create for my remaining sessions. And so then as it unfolded, and I've done the same thing with my classes here, especially in the real estate. My example there is one of my gals the other day asked, you know, what about investing in a syndication? And I'm like, I don't have anything in my class about. So I had to go back and I had to learn all about syndications, which was great for me, because I've already decided I'm not gonna live in that imposter syndrome mindset, which it is a mindset. And so when she asked me the question, I said, I don't know, but I will by next week. And so I did a deep dive into syndication and wrote a course on it and added it to my Happy House Hunters course all about investing in syndications. And I've had folks come to me already from there and say, I never understood it until I read through your module. Now it makes sense on what that's all about. So your students will bring more material to the forefront for you. And Linda, did that happen in your masterclass? Did things come up that you hadn't identified already in the class that now you think, oh, I need to add that next time?
I'm trying to remember.
or did you research it deep enough that you kind of had all the bases covered?
Well, I had 2 experts attend. So that was a little bit daunting, to say the least.
Okay.
And the estate planning attorney cast some helpful light that we wouldn't have had any idea. Some of the advice that's out there is that you appoint a traditional executor and a digital executor, which sounds perfect because maybe the person that could do all the stuff on the financial side wouldn't know what to do with your digital assets if you were either laid up or you'd passed away. But the attorney said, that's all well and good, except at the county level, the bureaucrats don't know what to do with dual executors. So how would anybody know that, you know?
Ah, I get it.
So yeah, there was extra light that was shined during the meeting just because of things like that.
Interesting. See, so now that's something that you can now delve a little more into on how to solve that problem for your next masterclass. See, because your audience wouldn't necessarily know that information. So that's now more information that you have. So those are the kinds of things that are going to happen as you go down this path. Those are the things that will happen. And then you'll go back and say, I need to explore that to add that into my next one. So I love that. So now you're going to craft the material. So you want some multimedia type material that supports your class. You need presentations, you need handouts, you need worksheets. You need to make sure your materials are not only informative, but also visually appealing. And you need to align the materials with your content for a seamless learning experience. Now, here's one of my pet peeves. I love really beautifully laid out presentations and handouts and worksheets with tons of color. But now let me say, I hate all of these presentations, handouts, and workbooks with all of this color. Because if you want to print it, it totally eats up your ink, your cartridge with all of the color. And people that have big borders, you know, black borders around things, that takes a ton of your ink cartridge to print that stuff. And so what I like to see, and so my goal is to do this with every single module in my school, is to have a print ready. Or what's the term? It's not print ready.
Printer friendly.
Printer friendly. I'd like to have a printer friendly printout of everything. And the printer friendly version will do away with all the color. It does away with all of the graphics, and you just get the material. And so now the person can print it off and put it in a notebook if that's their learning style and they like to have that hands-on where they can take notes and write right on the material. They can watch it when you're doing the video. They can see all the pretty colors and it's very appealing and all of the handouts and workbooks. But when they print it out, it's more printer friendly and it doesn't, like, they don't have to run to the store five times for another ink cartridge to get your workbook printed out. And I've had that happen. I've been printing in the middle of a workbook and then I'm like, why do they have all these big black borders and big, huge pictures that I can't take out of the print when I, you know, because it's part of the page that I need to print some of the content. Because again, they're trying to make it look like a magazine or like an actual published book. And they're trying to, and it does, it looks beautiful, but there needs to be a PDF form somewhere of just the content. So anyhow, one of my little pet peeves. Then you have to foster the interaction. So design interactive elements to maintain participant engagement, have group discussions, have question and answer sessions, encourage your participants to collaborate and share their insights. So this is where, when we are going through our practice sessions with everybody in, you know, how to have a masterclass or a mastermind or whatever, and we have these practice sessions where each of you get to do your own, that's what you're practicing, is how to bring in your participants into the conversation, how to facilitate those meetups, how to facilitate those Zoom calls, how to facilitate those master classes, those masterminds, your challenges, because you want to have a two-way street there. And so you have to foster that interaction. Now, once you're ready with all of that, now you're ready to advertise. So you have to create some sort of a landing page. Now, Linda, you did Eventbrite, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of a hybrid, Facebook and Eventbrite.
Okay.
Actual registration was Eventbrite.
Yeah, because it's kind of a done for you little landing page that already has that sign up and it sends it out to your email. And even if you're going to charge, there is, you can do all of that right there on Eventbrite. But you did give me some aha that I didn't have, something about with Eventbrite, they did charge even on some of the free Because they used to not charge on the free meetup, on the free stuff on Eventbrite, and
It
now they
was
do.
free up to 25 tickets or attendees, and then if you wanted more people to be able to attend, then up to 100 people was $9.99. So it wasn't a big deal.
Okay. So again, Eventbrite is a good option because you don't have to go back and create the technology. It's already created for you. And it's just a drag and drop type program where you just drop your picture in, you drop your content in, you complete the little page that says, what are you charging, if at all? And then you publish it and it's out there. And then you've got a link that you can then share across your social media, in your emails, on your website, over in your Facebook event. There's all kinds of places where you can share that link and it's ready-made for you. I do this in our, and again, I keep going back to the Happy House Hunters because that's the program that I have actually worked on the most in my school. And one of the things that all of my students want to know there is, well, if you have an empty unit or a house for sale or one for rent, where do you advertise it? And I like to go to Craigslist. Now, Craigslist is not my favorite platform to advertise on, but I love the actual mechanicals of Craigslist because you can put your picture, it pops in a map automatically for you. You can put your open house dates there. You can put it, it's like an Eventbrite for real estate. And you can put all your stuff in there. And now you've got that link. Now you can take that link and advertise where you want to advertise. But it's a great little landing page. And that's what Eventbrite is. It's just a great little landing page for you. And it's kind of a done for you where you just plug your stuff in. So now that you have that link, where are you going to put it? So now you can develop your marketing strategy. You can put it on social media, email campaigns. You can put it on your website. If you're a blogger, you can put it in your blog. There's all kinds of places now where you can advertise that link to advertise your masterclass or whatever it is you're creating. So now, when you're done with that, now you have to manage the registrations and the tickets. And again, Eventbrite kind of manages it for you because they send you an email every time somebody signs up. You get their email so that you can communicate with them and follow up. And it kind of does everything for you. So you can implement a user-friendly registration process, which Eventbrite does. You can decide on your pricing structures, your early bird offers, and discounts. And you have that option on Eventbrite to even have different price levels. And you can have a VIP price level right there on your Eventbrite and then integrate your payment methods. And again, Eventbrite already has integrated a payment method. So it makes it a seamless experience for the folks that are registering. Okay. So now technical preparedness. You have to set up all of your technical equipment. Now, I don't know about you, but I like Zoom. We've kind of decided on this call. Most of us like Zoom. And so the day of your event, you have to make sure that your hardware is working, that your software is working, that your internet connection is working. Troubleshoot if there's some technical issues, but sign on early enough that you can work through some of those. Now, I also, when I travel, I always travel and I use what I have. I always travel with my laptop and also with my tablet and also with my phone. I travel with all three of those when I'm traveling because that gives me three options to get on my Zoom call. My laptop is my favorite because I can share the screen and it's easier to move around. My tablet is okay, but it doesn't share quite as easy as my laptop. And my phone is my least favorite because, you have to like cover up one eye to see. But the point is that I could at least get on the call. And we've talked before about always having a co-host on your calls in case something happens. So even if for some reason, if I had no internet and I had to tap in on my phone, I could get one of you gals to, if you're on a computer, I could say, hey, are you in your office on a computer? Yeah, I am today. Why? Well, can you pull up this website and share the screen for us? Because I want to teach from that and I can't pull it up on my phone. You could actually have your co-host pull up a screen if they have access to it. So just have a backup is my point. And the only other thing that I want to mention about having a backup is we talked about doing a symposium. If you have a speaker that doesn't show up, you have to have a plan in your back pocket. So you can either have, like I'm doing here, you can either have a little outline that you're going to talk about in place of your speaker, or you can have a backup speaker that says to you, oh, call me at the last minute, I can jump on. And I'll say that for you. I can be a backup for all of you. So if you're all in a pickle, call me. I can jump on. But the point is that you want to have a plan, because that will happen from time to time. They got their day mixed up. They got their time mixed up. Their equipment didn't work that day. They couldn't get on the call for whatever reason. Their internet was down. There's all kinds of reasons on why maybe that person couldn't show up. And so you just have to be prepared for those you have to have that preparedness no matter what happens. So the show goes on, as they say. So now you're on the teaching day. So now you're going to deliver your plan. You're going to engage with your students again. You're going to facilitate that, get that two-way conversation going. And then afterwards, you're going to ask for feedback. Now, the way I like to ask for feedback is I like to, and again, it's a nice subtle way, I always ask, what was your aha moment of today? And what that does is that it allows your students or your listeners to think of in a positive manner. They start thinking, oh, what was my aha moment? What was it that I didn't know before that I now learned? And so they start sharing those positive aha moments. So I love that. And then you have to test and measure the results. Once you get to the very end, you have to go back. How many people actually signed up? How much money did I make if it was for profit? Did the technology work okay? When I'm looking at my results, would there have been a better option? Was there some engagement that didn't happen? Was there, I remember when Sherry did her master class, hers was a 5 day, and I think, and don't quote me, but it was like day three or day four, one of those, she just didn't get the responses that she was hoping for. And her feedback was is that her students, they didn't really connect with that particular day of her 5 days because it was too technical. And so she realized she needed to go back and rewrite that day, not the whole, she didn't want to throw out the whole program. She just needed to rewrite that day because they all felt that day was a little too technical for where her audience was. And that was a great feedback for her when she was testing and measuring her results. So, whatever your topic, whatever your passion, you can start building your business by creating something like this. And so, let me stop sharing and let me just ask you gals, thoughts, comments, aha moments, feedback. What do you think?
In regard to what you were just saying, the military calls that an after action review, an AAR. And I
Okay.
try to always make sure to do one after any kind of event like that and just see, I mean, anything. What did I learn from the event? Did I talk too much, too little? Was my resolution on my screen good? How was the audio? Just whatever may be front of mind from how that event went, learn from it going forward.
So, what kind of feedback did you get on your 1 day master class? My guess is that you got a lot of, oh my goodness, I learned stuff I never even knew.
I
Yeah.
did. And it was great because I asked them to put their comments and their takeaways in the chat. And pro tip that I use in my Zoom settings, the chat is always recorded, so I can't accidentally forget to capture
Okay.
those valuable comments.
Good. That's yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good tip. Yes, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Debbie, how about you?
Well, I've learned more so that I'll have a little bit more of a understanding when I get started doing this. And I want to get started doing it, but I have my book. And I just seem to have too much on my plate at the moment. So I want to, it's the end of the year. So I figured, I can start doing more things, but different things in January.
Well, and now is a great planning time because we're in the last quarter. And so this is a perfect planning time on how you want your life to look. I like to reverse engineer it and say, well, what do I really want my week to look like? And then what do I have to do to make my week look like that? And so for me, and many of you have heard this, and again, I'll refer back to the real estate. They ask me, well, what made you buy this property or that property? And I go, well, I'm price driven, you know, if the price is right. And Mark and I, we have a little joke between us. We always say, if somebody's going to give something away, we have to do our part. Because some of the houses that we've picked up, the prices have been really low. Now, the lower the price, the more work that needs done. And so we have to now, you know, balance how much work do we really want to do versus what we're going to pay for this house. But I say that to say this, when I reverse engineer the way I want my life to look, or the way I want my week to look, or the way I want my business to look, I have to start with what is it that's bringing in the money? Let's look at what's bringing in the money. What's bringing in the money generally is something that I've had an interest or have an interest in. And it's generally something that's easier for me to do. It comes naturally. So the money just kind of comes in through that avenue, whatever that is. And so the first thing that I do, because I have a tendency to always want to stretch myself a little bit. If it comes too easy, I have a tendency to want to focus somewhere else because it's kind of like, oh, I want to really, you know, figure this out or create this. When, and I'll go back to a story I heard a long time ago. There was a 14-year-old, and she really, really, really wanted to learn to do something. And she told all of her friends, and they would all go over to her house on the weekends, and she would bake brownies. And they would all say, oh my gosh, these are the best brownies ever. And all she wanted to do was complain about how she couldn't, you know, get over the hurdle on this thing that she wanted to do, and how could she do it, and could they help her do it? And finally, one of her friends looked at her and said, why don't you just bake brownies? It had never occurred to her because that came so easy for her that it never occurred to her that that was the thing, you know? And so I sometimes have to reverse engineer what I'm doing, and I have to look and say, well, what is the thing that's just kind of happening organically, comfortably, you know, that's basically paying for my lifestyle? What is that thing? And maybe I need to put a little more effort there. And not feel like I have to, you know, push myself over the moon every day.
Right.
And what that does is that loosens up a lot of your time where you're feeling too stretched, so that you can take that one project that stretches you and say, this is the one project that I'm gonna push on this year. And the rest of the time, I'm gonna focus on this stuff that organically is working for me. Yes, Linda.
I don't know if either of you or if any of the listeners have heard of a man named Joe Polish, but he's a very interactive, he's a giver as far as connecting people and rising tide lifts all boats and all of that. A wonderful speaker and very edifying. You'll learn a lot and you'll be very motivated if you listen to any of his podcasts or speeches or see him on the internet. But he has two little acronyms that he uses. And one tied exactly with what you were saying. He says ELF, easy, lucrative, and fun. That's what he tries, the filter that he tries to put things
Okay.
through, just as you were saying. And then the opposite of that is HALF. And that can be, it can be projects or jobs, but it can also be people. So HALF is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating.
Say that second one again.
Hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. So when you're looking at things in your world and deciding if they need to stay or go, or what you want to do more of or less of, put
Okay.
it through those two filters.
I love it.
What was the
So
second word?
annoying,
Hard,
health,
annoying.
half, yeah. Hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating.
That's good.
I actually have Elf on my reader, my whiteboard across the room.
Oh, so we're on the same vein here. Yeah, because and it makes sense. And for me, the bed and breakfast, the guest rooms, it's so easy. But I spent, almost 20 years, 25 years in the hotel industry. And so I kind of know that industry like the back of my hand, so to speak. And so it just comes easy for me to know what guests like or what's expected or what's out there. And I've been in and out of a lot of hotel rooms. And of course, the joke is, oh, you've worked every hotel in Columbus, huh? And I go, yeah, not like that. So again, I did night audits. I've worked the front desk. I've done housekeeping. I've worked in banquets. I've done all of it. And so once you know your way around there, there's just kind of an expectation level that guests are expecting, and I kind of know what that is. It just kind of comes naturally. And so that's just such an easy thing for me. And I catch myself sometimes almost working the guest house like an afterthought. It's like I'm focused and I'm writing and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm like, oh yeah, I do need to go get those rooms ready. And then I'm rushing around and maybe not doing as good a job because I've got my mind on something else. So that's why in 2024, I need to refocus on what's really bringing in the cash flow, and then pick a project and not have like 20 projects. Pick a project that I'm going to work on. So that's what's working for me. So I encourage you to definitely do the elf and not the half. So, big aha moment for anyone. For me, it was the reverse engineering. That's, on what I want my 2024 to look like. So, Linda, any one big aha for you today?
I appreciated the reminder about printer-friendly handouts. I've seen those. There's so much value in that, and it's always good to be re-reminded of those things.
Yeah. Again, that's just one of my pet peeves. I love it when they look wonderful, but I also hate it because every time I want to print, I go, oh, I got to go to the store first before I can print this off and get another ink cartridge.
There's one other thing that's related, but a little bit of a sidebar. There are people who have various types of color blindness, and we may make a really lovely thing with, a blue headline with a green accent. It might be invisible or extremely hard to read for someone, depending on their version of color blindness. So sometimes, with our own ignorance, we don't even realize how inaccessible the things we create on a web page or a handout might be.
Well, and I have a gal right now that she says, Kathy, I would love to tap into all of your masterminds, but she said you've got everything on video audio. And I said, well, yeah, how wonderful is that? And she was like, I can't hear.
Oh.
Oh. She said, I can't hear. She said, I need the written version.
That's where a transcript would come in.
Yeah, exactly. And so you see where that needs to be on my list of things to do is to add transcripts for all of those videos.
Kathy, what is
Yes.
this AI companion at the bottom of the screen?
Well, when you click on the AI companion, it says Zoom will use AI technology, which may include third-party models, to provide the AI companion service. Invitees will be able to ask questions about the meeting to the AI companion, which will provide responses based on the meeting transcript. Zoom does not use any audio, video chat, screen sharing attachments, or other communications like content, such as poll results, whiteboard, to train Zoom or third party. So by clicking the enable feature, it will enable your account and the feature will be turned on for this meeting and available for hosts to turn on in future meetings. And so what it is it basically will and you can see right next to it the word summary. Does yours say summary on yours too?
Yes.
So what it does is AI will take everything we've talked about and create a summary. You know how when I post this, I post a summary of what we talked about?
Yes.
If you turn on the AI, Zoom will create the summary for you.
I could have swore somewhere that I've seen transcript on Zoom, and it might have been before.
Well, and maybe it is the AI, because what it does is it doesn't actually transcribe the whole call, but it will. Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's something over here in my more button, but it will create a whole summary, somewhat like a transcript, of what this call was all about. So if somebody came, like my gal that can't hear, she could come by and she could read all of that and go, oh, that's what that call's about.
I know what I was thinking. Lots of times when well, all the time when Melaleuca has an online thing at the bottom, it always has it has a button that says transcription. So when it's all over with, you can print out the whole thing. And that's why I was wondering what they're using that's different than Zoom to get that transcription button.
Yeah,
So,
Linda just requested it, so we'll see. I don't know where it pops up when we're done.
yeah.
So we'll see if it pops up. But
I
anyway,
was
Zoom.
wondering, do you have to have an attendee request, or can you, as the host,
Yes,
automatically do that so you have it for your friend?
I have it as the host. It says that I can enable it. So I did, because I don't know where it pops up after the call is over. I don't know, when you go to your recording afterwards and Zoom gives you your recording, I don't know if it gives you another link as of the summary or transcript there or not, but we'll see, because Linda requested it and I enabled it, so we'll see where it pops up on this call.
And it's
I
very
don't know if you have to
possible
do it at the
that
beginning, or I don't know if you have to do it at the beginning, or if you can do it at any time in the process. And my guess is that if we see where it pops up, and if we like it, we can probably, when we set up a closed Zoom call, we can probably enable it from the very beginning.
right.
But yes, it is new with Zoom.
And
Everybody's on the AI wagon, yeah.
I think that you're right, because when you have the different categories show up on your in your down or in your computer, it actually has one for chat, so it's separate, a separate link to just the chat.
Yeah, so there may be
So
one for this transcript. So we'll see where it pops up.
that's
But yes,
interesting.
this, and it could be that that'll just automatically, if I go in and enable that at the beginning, like Linda enabled her chat to always be recorded, it could be that I could just enable that on all of my Zoom calls to automatically record. And
Right.
then maybe my transcript will be done for me from here on out. So
Well,
again, use the technology, use the tools we have. They're there to help us.
right, exactly.
If Zoom doesn't automatically, when there's a whole raft of tools that are included, I think the first year that you're a paid subscriber, and honestly, since I hopped, I probably have them again. But I think Fathom might be a tool to look into that maybe provides a transcript. I know it does some of the AI summarizing and key points and whatnot. So that could be worth looking into.
Yeah, there's an app button there. Yeah, it just says collaboration options. Okay, so that's not going to help me. There's a button there where I can actually add some apps to the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what those. Oh, yeah, Note Taker by Fathom. Yes. Okay.
Yes, here you go.
So that may give a transcript. I don't know. And then I
I
think
think so, because it says it's free and never take meeting notes again.
yeah. And also, you can hook, I think,
Yay.
Otter to Zoom, and I think you'll get a transcript.
Okay, good to know.
And it's
Good to
free.
know. Good to know.
Cool.
Okay. Yep. I like it.
Glad we discussed this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff. So good, good, good. Good to know. Well, thank you, gals, for being on with me today. I hope I brought some value and inspired you to take the next step on whatever it is you're working on, and to jump ahead to 2024, and let's reverse engineer a little bit what we want our 2024 to look like and put that in practice.
Cool. Sounds good to me.
Valuable. Thank
I love
you.
it.
Thank you.
Right, ladies. I will see everybody smile for the camera for a second. Gotcha. All right. See everybody next time.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.